With Montana news, I'm Eric Whitney. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Troy Downing is scheduled to go to trial less than 2 weeks before his party's primary elections in June. Downing is charged with 9 misdemeanor violations for illegally purchasing resident hunting licenses in Montana while living in California. The Big Sky businessman has pleaded not guilty and claims the charges are politically motivated. But the timetable for the court proceedings means questions over Downing's residency status will remain at issue through most of the primary season, leaving him open to potential attacks from detractors. On June 5th, voters will choose a nominee to challenge Democratic U.S. Senator John Tester in the November 2018 general election. The Montana Board of Investments has approved the transfer of $14.7 million from the Montana State Fund to the state's firefighting fund by April 1st. During a special legislative session in November, lawmakers set a temporary 3% management fee on a portion of Montana State Fund assets to help pay for Montana's record fire season. The fee was expected to bring in about $30 million over 2 years. Businesses with workers' compensation policies through the state fund have filed a lawsuit challenging the fee. The Great Falls Tribune reports the board's executive director, David Ewer, did not believe the resolution was technically necessary, but that staff felt that it was appropriate for the public record. Officials noted there's no court order preventing the transfer, which follows state law passed in November. A man convicted of robbing a Bozeman casino twice within the same week in 2016 was sentenced to 50 years in prison. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports 47-year-old Dwayne Burchill was sentenced yesterday after a jury found him guilty in August of robbery, conspiracy to commit deceptive practices, and felony drug possession. Authorities say Burchill stole about $1,500 in the two robberies at a Magic Diamond casino. He was arrested in September 2016 after an informant identified him to police. A prolonged winter storm has closed roads, schools, and tribal offices on the Blackfeet Reservation. Nikki Ouellette reports.
5 feet of wind-drifted snow buried roads in some places, preventing plows from reaching outlier communities like Heart Butte. Some people have been stranded since the weekend after a blizzard moved through the eastern Rocky Mountain front last week. Even in Browning, the reservation's government seat, the combination of wind and snow forced schools and tribal offices to close since Monday and made many roads impassable. Lynn Keenan, child nutrition director for Browning Public Schools, says volunteers have been working with the tribal transportation department to deliver sack lunches to school-aged children in Browning.
Yesterday, we were able to go give 200 lunches out, and that was it, because we just couldn't make it in places. You know, I mean, there was just no way. We tried and tried.
An emergency shelter serving hot lunches was moved Tuesday from Browning Middle School to K.W. Bergen Elementary after the middle school was engulfed by drifting snow. Keenan says travelers and truckers were stranded in Browning after the Montana Department of Transportation closed U.S. Highway 2 and 89. Road conditions remain icy, snow-covered, with poor visibility, and closed in some places. Conditions improved slightly Wednesday, but a winter weather advisory for blowing snow and additional snowfall in Browning, Heart Butte, and Marias Pass remains in place until 11 a.m. Thursday. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.
The Flathead National Forest is now reviewing all the objections to the final draft of its new forest management plan. Edward O'Brien reports.
The Flathead National Forest released that draft plan back in mid-December. It's essentially the blueprint that will guide land use decisions on the forest for at least the next decade. Groups who were involved in writing the plan had 2 months to file objections. The Flathead Forest Plan Revision Team Leader Joe Kruger says that objection period closed Monday.
We've received 74 timely objections regarding the revision of the Flathead's plan, as well as the associated regional foresters' species of conservation concern, as well as the amendments to the Lolo, Helena, Lewis and Clark, and Kootenai National Forest amendments.
The plan includes a section on grizzly bears in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. Federal managers say that population may no longer need endangered species protections. And that's what worries critics like Arlene Montgomery with Friends of the Wild Swan. That local nonprofit was one of 74 that filed an objection.
You know, if you're going to have a forest plan, it should be one that at least is beneficial to wildlife, that not an adverse effect to wildlife like grizzly bears, lynx, and bull trout.
Montgomery and other conservation groups that are critical of the revised plan say it doesn't do enough to protect fish and wildlife. They say it ignores best available science and offers no direction for maintaining a sustainable road system.
I think we always need to be pushing for what's the best for wildlife, fish, and water quality, and that's what we're doing.
The Flathead National Forest's Joe Kruger says his colleagues in the Forest Service believe they're doing the same thing.
Well, you definitely have the environmental organizations kind of all mirroring themselves on their points, but we do have quite a few letters of support as well.
Forest officials will now review the objections to the final draft of its new forest plan and are expected to respond to them later this spring. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
The Montana Department of Commerce is creating a new position to promote tourism in Indian Country. Nikki Ouellette reports.
Casey Lozar with the Department of Commerce says the new tribal tourism officer will develop culturally appropriate visitor orientation and tourism services in cooperation with the 8 Native American nations in Montana.
What this position does and what we've been striving to do over the last few years is work with owners and operators to grow their capacity to provide that experience, that Native American authentic experience for visitors from all around the country and outside the United States.
Lozar says recent surveys of leisure travelers show a growing interest in exploring Indian Country, history, and culture. He says the tribal tourism officer will work with local businesses, entrepreneurs, and tribal governments to update tour guides and maps and produce media for marketing campaigns. The new officer is expected to begin work this spring. More information about the position is on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.